One, we're just going to kind of get right into it tonight. We are very much ahead of schedule because you gave me more time. I tried to give you time. And so I guess I'll just take the time, if you will. But we're going to kind of walk through, if we can, if time allows, the chapter one of Daniel, and just got some thoughts here on conquering compromise. That's the title of my message, on conquering compromise. Let's stand. We'll read verses 1-8 of Daniel chapter one. Very familiar passage, very familiar story, if you will. And but we will kind of read more of this chapter as we go through the message tonight. But we will read responsively verses 1-8 of Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for tonight. We thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray, God, Holy Spirit, you touch now. Give me strength as I preach tonight. And may we leave here changed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title again of my message is Conquering Compromise. In the early part of this century, an American ship was wrecked off the Scilly Isles near the coast of England. The sea had been calm and the weather clear, but the vessel was caught in a treacherous current that slowly lured it off its course. And before the captain and the crew realized what had happened, the ship had crashed into the rocks. You know, life, too, has its powerful currents of compromise, has its powerful currents of compromise that can catch one and carry them off to shipwreck, just like this ship we talked about. Spiritual drifting is usually a slow process. It doesn't happen generally overnight. It's not something that just happens in a matter of time. It just kind of very slowly, you know, you take someone who's on fire for God, and you maybe take a baby Christian, boy, they're on fire for God. You can take a mature Christian who's been on fire for God for years, but just takes one little look or one little distraction, and boy, for many years or whatever the case may be, they were focused upon God, but one little distraction kind of caused them to lose sight of the Lord, and before you know it, if they don't go ahead and nip that in the bud, they kind of slow but sure, and sometimes it takes a period of months or years to get to that point, which usually winds up in shipwreck if you don't go ahead and keep short accounts with God. Talked about it before, you know, every single day, boy, all throughout the day, you ought to be talking with the Lord. You ought to be, confessing your sin. Part of your prayer life, part of your prayer list ought to be confession and keeping short accounts with God so that we don't wind up in spiritual shipwreck. We know that compromise occurs when we have lost strong resistance of to evil and left a once passionate desire for truth. Compromise defined as this: a settlement of differences by mutual concessions, an agreement reached by adjustment of conflicting or opposing claims or principles, by reciprocal modification of demands. Number two, another definition: the result of such a settlement. And number three, something intermediate between different things. Many times life can be filled with compromise. We are given the choice of how we live our lives, in the path that we're going to follow. You know, God, I wish He would, once I got saved, He would just go ahead and grab me by the nape of the neck when I do go ahead and have a tendency to stray and say, this way. Now He does. The Holy Spirit's there to do that. But how often, you know what? The flesh and the spirit wins, and sometimes the flesh will go ahead and overcome the spirit because we have fed the flesh, if you will, and we want to do things our own way. And before you know it, we start walking in this sea, if you will, or this path, I should say, of compromise. We're given the choice of how we ought to live. But you know what? When we, Joshua said in Joshua 24, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Israel was struggling with other gods. You want to serve the other gods on the other side of the floods? They were struggling with other gods. And as a result, they were compromising. And the truth of the matter is, they were headed for spiritual shipwreck. But, you know, I like the man of God of Joshua. He got up there, said, choose you this day. But as for me and my house, I think Joshua had such a powerful testimony. Because as you read on, you see that, no, Joshua, we want to serve the God, the Almighty God, and so forth. But we're given a choice, if you will, of who to follow and what direction we ought to go. But you know what? We're not given the right to choose the consequences of it. You know what? You wanna choose the world. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's going to be some stiff, severe consequences. And you know, as a child of God, you know the direction that God wants you to go. You know where He wants you to face and the race that He wants you to run. But if it gets a little bit too tough, you know, we see in these boys here that, boy, they were young men, if you will, of grit, you know, and I like that. But when it gets a little bit too tough, we say, well, I don't know if the Christian life is worth it. You know what? It should be easier than this. Who said it should be easier than this? Was Jesus, the path that He trod for 33 and a half years here on earth, was this really that easy for Him? No. Did Paul, you know, now he was a sinner and, of course, a persecutor of Christians, but God went ahead and saved him by His grace and so forth. And let me tell you something. Do you think it was easy sledding for Paul from the time he got saved to the time he died? No, it's not easy. But you know what? If you choose the world, you know what? There will be consequences to them actions. When we come to these times of decision, it is imperative. Okay, I'm talking about the crossroads in life where you got to make a choice whether right or wrong, black is black, right, white is white, right or wrong. When you come to these crossroads, it is imperative that we make godly choices. The choices we make at the crossroads of life will determine our effectiveness and usefulness for God. I want to be used of God. But why should He use me if I go ahead and try my own way and do my own thing? He's not going to use me effectively. I'll be very little use to God. And I want to be used of God. We ought to desire that God use us. Yeah, you know, some people say, well, you know, God using us is abusing us. No, it's not. You know, well, you know, you get up in the morning, you got to run a bus, you got to do this, and you know, it's tiring and so forth. Yes, it is tiring and so forth, but you just keep on running, and you keep on, look at the big picture, look at the influence that God has given you in whatever ministry capacity He's given you. Look at the influence that you have on them people that He's allowing you to lead. You know, whether it be a bus captain to a bus kid or a youth worker to a teenager or a pastor to a people or a godly mom and daddy to their child. You know what? God is, boy, it's a wonderful opportunity to go ahead and serve the Lord and give Him all you got. We see it right here in these young men, and give Him all you got and have the grit that when it does get tough, and it does get tough, when you do get mocked at, and you will get mocked at, you will be made fun of, you decide to take a stand, you know, the world's going to laugh at you. They'll kind of push up against you. But you know what? You need to put on the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, you know, put on the whole armor, gird yourself with the truth, and get yourself the weapons so that you can go ahead and fight the old devil and fight the good fight of faith. But our decisions determine our destiny. You go ahead and you choose wrong, you know what? It's gonna be a destructive destiny. You know what? Brother Scott once said, a man who walks with God always reaches his destination. You know, it'd be good, you know what, and for every man, every lady, every child, every teenager just decide, hey, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to have a time, a segment of time. Let me tell you something, a man who walks with God always reaches his destination. Of course, here our text is familiar. Four men came to a time of decision in their life. They could either compromise and just go with the flow like many do. You know, it's just too hard. The pressure's too tough. They could just go with the flow because it was easier. and less hassle, or they could stand their ground and do what is right and do what they have been taught. You know, they were born in and around Jerusalem. They were taught godliness. They had godly parents, no doubt, and they knew right from wrong. These circumstances they faced and decisions they made would set the course of their life. Boy, you know what? You better be careful, young person, about the decisions you make. You better get God in every single decision that you make. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, that word ways means beginnings. Every new beginning of life, every new chapter of life, every new day, whatever the case may be, boy, you ought to acknowledge God. You know, you ought to get God in on that thing, in that area of dating teenager. You ought to get God in that area of your music. You ought to get God in that area, for all of us, of your time. Boy, you're not careful. You know what? We can waste time on all kinds of different things, and not necessarily bad things, but you ought to get God involved in every area, in every beginning, if you will, of your life, and you will not regret it. These boys, because of the choices they made, the right choices that they made, you know what? They've gone down in history as great heroes of the faith. As mentioned previous, we're going to see these choices they made and how they made them. And how they went ahead and they conquered compromise. Number one, let's look at the problem that they faced that was at hand here. In verses 1 through 7, I read that a while ago, these boys faced several problems. Each of these problems could have derailed them and caused them many problems, if you will, spiritually. However, these problems they face are not different than what we face in our world. You know, they faced a new home. Now, these were young men, okay? They were taken captive out of their familiar surroundings. You know, as a young man, that's hard. You know, I think of you know, I got a couple young people going to Bible college here in just a little while, and I think just knowing the families that they were brought up in, you know, they had safe surroundings and so forth, and they're going to go to safe surroundings, but you know what? Boy, things that are different are not the same. You know what I mean? It just isn't always the same. And boy, we need to pray for these young people and so forth, our young people, as they go off to Bible college and different things. But you know what? You can kind of get out of sight of them surroundings, if you will. You know what? It can be uncomfortable. Now, here are these young men, you know what? But they were in a little different situation than Bible college students, so to speak. But they were taken out of their familiar surroundings. They grew up in and around Jerusalem. They had a godly upbringing. They knew what obeying their parents was all about. They knew what church was all about, or the temple, if you will, was all about. They knew that them type of things, obeying mom and dad and going to church and serving the Lord, it wasn't a decision for them. You know, somewhere, you know, as young men, you know what, they were grounded in truth. You know, parents, boy, you ought to look at the responsibility that we have, a great responsibility in the lives of our children, to go ahead and ground them in truth so that as they grow up, they will learn how to make right choices and learn how to make good decisions about every aspect or every area of life. And what is our responsibility, parent, to go ahead and teach them the truths of the Word of God so they know how to handle their money, they know how to handle the opposite sex, so that they know how to handle relationships, so that they know how to handle going to work and going to work for 40 hours a week. I mean, you know what, parents, we shoulder a lot of responsibility if we would go ahead and teach them how to live and how to live right according to the Word of God. And by our example, amen, well, we ought to be a good godly example. You know, I don't, you know, Cody the other night, I love that, you know, he's my son, and I love to hear my son the other night say, "Dad, you're my hero." I appreciated that. You know what, and boy, you know, all you children, you know, there's nothing wrong with having heroes, okay? They're the right kind of people. You know, we kind of got into this whole idea of heroes ought to be the NBA players and the NFL players and all that, you know what? But boy, you know what, having a godly mom and daddy, boy, that's a good hero to look up to. Having a godly preacher, that is a good hero to look up to. Having a godly Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, boy, them are some of them people that you ought to look up to. And understand they're not perfect, but you ought to look up to them. And but heroes, so to speak, or adults, you know, or leaders, listen to me, but we ought to live in such a life, a godly life, that they want what we have. You know what? We ought not be fake, if you will, in front of our children. We ought to be teaching them how to make the right choices so that when they do get older, they won't compromise. You know what? As they do go ahead and face certain things and different things, you know what? They know what they've been taught about drinking. They know what they've been taught about their body. They know what they've been taught. So when they come to that moment of decision, that crossroad, if you will, they'll know how to make the decision based upon the Word of God. You know why? Because preacher preached about it. Youth leader preached and taught and preached about it. Mom and daddy lived it. They taught me. And you know what? Therefore, you know what? And that's all part of producing another generation for the cause of Christ. You know what? We shoulder a huge responsibility. But these young men, you know what? They were taken out of familiar surroundings. They had godly upbringing. They were constantly reminded about how good God is and the importance of God in their life. They had, no doubt, godly parents that taught them well. They had the temple with its sacrifices. The priests and scribes were there teaching. The prophets were preaching the message of Jehovah. Now they're taken captive. They've been taken from home. They've been taken away from mom and dad. There's nothing like being under mom and dad. Their mom and dad probably was killed, but nothing like being under mom and dad. That old home cooking, amen? You know, now that's gone. You know, and they've been taken out of their church or their temple, if you will. They've been taken out of their safe surroundings. Now they're slaves and they're hauled off to Babylon to a whole different life. They're seeing things they've never seen before. They're surrounded by heathen people and heathen worship. And it'd be easy for these young boys if they weren't taught and grounded, it would have been easy for them to go ahead and conform to that lifestyle. The whole world, man, you know, I said it this morning, boy, the world is so full of evil activities. You know, it's all around us. It just bombards us everywhere you go. Brother Robles taught it in his Sunday school class. Just walking down a supermarket aisle, you got to just keep your eyes closed. I mean, it's everywhere you look. And you, if you're not careful, you allow that to go ahead and infest your life, if you will, and kind of become bigger and bigger and bigger to a point where it controls you. And you know what you've done? You conform to it. You know, but it normally starts with something like this. Well, it's not that bad. Preacher, I think you're getting a little bit, you know, you're going over. Pastor, that's a little bit old-fashioned. It's okay, I'll take the old pass. I'll take the old pass. I said that earlier to someone, didn't I? I'll take it. You know, but if you're not careful, you know what? You know how we start conforming to the world? It's by we just kind of, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, there's a lot that we as God's people ought to be doing about it. We ought to be, you know, getting our hearts right. Getting our hearts clean and pure, seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven, amen? You know, so you got to be very careful not to conform to it. They were slaves, they were hauled off. They were surrounded by whole new surroundings. The danger, like as I mentioned, is just as real to us. It's easy to be spiritual in church. It's easy to be godly around godly people. It's easy to go ahead and, boy, you know, dress up Sunday morning and then be a whole different person the next day. However, when we separate from godly influences, we are placing ourselves in a very dangerous position. Compromise can start sneaking ever so slightly. Just by, you know, that's why, listen, it's imperative, it's essential that you get yourself around godly people. So it's essential, mama and daddy, that you get your children around godly, safe, godly people, teaching them the principles of the Word of God. You know, I mean, I like the activity that we have. I mean, we're a pretty busy church. Look at my calendar and begin to think, what in the world, you know? But I like the fact that, boy, you know what? And I hope that you all feel this way. You can come to church and you know it's safe. Your kids can come on a Tuesday night, any given Tuesday night for a youth group, and you know it's going to be safe. They're going to have a great time. They're going to fool around a little bit, laugh and joke around and play some ball and different things like that. But you know, at the end of the night, boy, you know what? The big part of it is the preaching. You know, that's safe. Boy, you know, do everything you can. You know, do everything you can to get your children and get your teenagers and your children under the auspices of the local church, under the auspices of the preaching of the gospel. You do everything you can, mom and daddy, to lead them right, and you teach them by a godly example as well. But if you're not careful, you know what? We'll compromise can go ahead and start sneaking in and start veering you away very, very slightly. It starts, and before you know it, you'll be spiritually shipwrecked. That's why it's important to be consistent in church attendance, Hebrews 10:25. It's essential to get yourself around godly people. It's easy to compromise and conform to the world when we steer away from godly influence. That is why, you know, some That's why, you know, some will say, preacher, you're a little tough. Sometimes you're just a little tough. I don't apologize for that. You know, don't misunderstand. I'm not going to be unkind. And I think if you know me well enough, you know, I think I have a good heart and a kind heart. I'm not trying to boast here, you know. I think I have a good heart and a kind heart, and I love people, and I love, you know, I love what's going on and love to be in the activity. But, you know, as far as shooting it straight, I'm not going to apologize for that. You know, I'm going to go ahead and shoot it straight. I'm going to go ahead and that's the kind of church, that's all, you know, I think I walked into that kind of church. And, you know, I walked out of that kind of church, not in a bad way. You know, I've gone from a few different churches in my life. And, boy, every church that I know of in my life, you know, it's the King James Bible. It's the preaching of the Word of God. It's some straight shooting, preaching, and teaching. And that's the way it is. And I'm not going to apologize. You know, somebody, well, you need to, I'm not going to let up. You know, I love your family. I love you. I love these kids. I love these teenagers way too much to go ahead and let up and so forth. Because if I, you know, if I went ahead and let up, yeah, you know, what's the use? You know, sometimes even as a preacher, you know, let's look at it from some of your point of view. You know, Sunday school class, are they getting it? Sometimes you wonder. You know, I've taught Sunday school class. I'm a preacher. Okay, now let me just put yourself in that same. Sometimes, man, are they getting it? I just don't, are they getting it? Man, I feel like I'm drilling a home run here, but are they getting it? You know, but listen to me. Sometimes, you know what? You may not see it right away. Been here 3 years, almost 3 years. I begin to think some of these young people, some of these people, they're getting it. You be faithful to that class. You be amazed at that child, that teenager. You know, I think they are kind of getting on. You know, sometimes we think teenagers, oh, man, is there anything up there? Don't say amen, parent, youth worker. I'm 7th and 8th graders. You know, but you know what? The truth of the matter, you know what? You know why we don't always see if they get it or not? Because we get discouraged and we quit before we see it. You know, and I'm not opposed. You know, I know that men of God from time to time go to different churches. They feel like it's whatever God's will and so forth. You know, the part, you know, I came and I just decided I want to plant myself. You know, I want to be able to see, you know, I hope I live long enough, if you will, to be able to see the fruit that remains, the fruit of the labors, and seeing your children growing up, my children growing up, and just going off and being what God wants them to be. But you know what? You don't see that if you just go ahead and again, I'm not being unkind. Don't misunderstand. I know there's situations. I know there's great men of God that went from different churches. But you know, the truth of the matter is, but the hard part that about that is you don't, if you don't stay long enough, you kind of have a ministry of every 2 year kind of club, you know, and so forth. You don't see that fruit that remains. You don't get to be a part of that. And again, don't take that as a critical statement. I'm not being critical to anybody. I love preachers and I know there's reasons, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? I decide, man, you know, there's going to be thick and thin. You know, I've already faced it in 3 years here and 10, I don't know how many years, long time. You know, I faced the thick and thin. But you know what? I don't want to be blown away. I want to go ahead and plant myself. And you know, you plant yourself long enough in that class, you'll see the results. You will. You know, and sometimes I know it's easy to wonder, are they getting it? Yeah, you just be patient. Yeah, they are getting it. So they face a new home. Okay, another problem, they face new knowledge. Bible says in verse 3 and 4, we read that a while ago. You can read along as I'm speaking here. These boys were taught a new language and new ways of looking at life. Things were different. Okay, all their lives they've been exposed to Jewish wisdom. Now they're exposed to Babylonian worldly wisdom. And they see, they're seeing things they've never seen. And it's dangerous. It's a dangerous time for them, if you will, spiritually speaking. It's a dangerous time where if they're not careful, they could start, you know, letting down their guard and everything they've been taught and start conforming, if you will, to the Babylonian religion, so to speak. There's much pressure for them to conform to the world around them. You know, but their being scripturally grounded helped them not to compromise. You know, we're exposed to new ways of trying to do things all the time. You know, you see it. I mean, I've been, you know, you see it. You know, let's go ahead, let's see. We want to build a large church, so let's go ahead and cut down from 3 times a week to 1, and let's just have this big old band and a 20-minute sermon. You know, I'm going to take the old paths. I've been in it long enough to see that what is going on is working, and God is blessing. Amen. And we're going to just stick with it. We're going to keep on sticking with it. And I'm not opposed. I know today, God gives us technology. You can do different things with technology to help enhance your ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't need to go ahead and go to the world and bring the world in here to go ahead and try to get God's work done. No, there's none of that. There ought not be any of that. But we're exposed to new ways to try and do things. The old paths work. The old-fashioned preaching works. The old book works. The old music works. And I'm not looking for anything new. In the world, we'll call you old-fashioned. Oh, Pastor, you're old-fashioned. Oh, sir, old ma'am, you're old-fashioned. But you know what? When our world was applying to themselves old-fashioned standards, we didn't have a premarital rape or pregnancy, if you will, situation way out of whack like it is today. When we were abiding, and we were built on biblical truth, and you can go back in history and different things. You know what? When we were considered, if you will, an old-fashioned nation, conforming to old-fashioned standards brought by this book right here, we didn't have all the sexual looseness. We didn't have all the immorality. We didn't have all the junk that we see today. I say just go back to the old paths. The world may call us intolerant. The world may call us ancient, outdated. That's okay. I'm not going to conform to the world. The Bible says in Romans 12, let me just read it. We know it. But I'm just going to read it, and I'll probably refer to it a couple times here this evening, Romans chapter 12. The Bible says this, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We ought not be conforming to the world's standards. Let's conform to God's standards. Amen. Let's go ahead and conform to what God wants us. We're told to, in this society today, we're told to conform to the world standards. We're told to accept homosexuality. We're told to accept drinking. We're told to accept cursing. We're told to accept promiscuous sexual activity. But God, however, he has not changed his mind on these matters, and it's all an abomination to him. I want to be careful, of my brother-in-law there, but, first time I saw him, I'll just tell you, I was heartbroken for him. You just see it in his eyes that, in a way, I just felt like, this guy is just wrapped up, he's just bound up by stuff. And the truth of the matter is, it really wasn't all his fault. And I'm very careful, I don't want to embarrass him. I don't think he would know about this, but it really wasn't all his fault. He started drinking booze at 8 years old. But it was basically handed to him. Here. 8 years old. Don't get me wrong, but an 8-year old, that shouldn't even be a decision he has to make. A choice that he has to make. And I see, all them 40 years and what it has done to him, and I feel bad. My heart really breaks for him. I told my wife, I said, he needs to just grab a hold of some truth. And the truth will make him free, will set him free. He just needs to get to know the truth. Now, there's more things than that, because it's very severe. But he's been so conformed, it was handed to him, that kind of lifestyle was just, and he's just kind of conformed to it. Now it's almost takes an army to go ahead and break him away from that addiction, that struggle. They faced a new diet, verse number 5. Through their life, they were handed down dietary laws from God. Now they're faced with an all new food system. Food that to them was unclean by Jewish standards, and most of the meat was probably sacrificed, had been offered to idols. Therefore, it would have defiled them and made them unclean to God. We are faced choices. We run contrary to the best that God has purposed for us, and there are decisions about our choice of entertainment that we make, There were decisions about our choice of music we listened to, the choices in our personal relationships. We're confronted daily by choices to either do or not do certain things that can cause us to be defiled. You know, I'm saved, and I thank God that I'm saved, and nothing will ever change that. But the choices I make in life can either build me up or tear me down as a servant of God. And it will you too. It'll either build you up, the choices I had to make, can either build me up or tear me down as a servant of God. No, I can never be lost again, but I can be defiled, as the scripture says, and be put on a shelf. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body under subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be shelved by God. I don't want to, you know, and that's why it's so important as a preacher and as Christians and as young people to go ahead and learn how to make your decisions. So it's so important for us to learn how to make godly, right choices, godly, right decisions, so that we will not be defiled and tainted by the world, so that we cannot be, what's the word I'm looking for? God wants to use us, but be not as effective to God as we could be. You know, you don't have to, young person, let me just talk to young people. You don't have to settle for second best. But you will if you don't make some right choices about in your life. In areas of sexuality, morality, if you will. You know what? If you're not careful, you will settle for second best. And you don't have to, young person, while you're young and while you're listening to me and while you got that godly parent over you teaching you how to make some right choices, you adhere to them. You listen to them. You get in the Word of God for yourself. You study the Word of God. You apply the principles of the Word of God to your heart so that you can go ahead and make right choices so that you can always have first best. Have first best. Now, there's others that will. There are a lot of people in this. Maybe there's some in this room tonight. You know what? You're second best, but that's okay. It's covered by the blood. You've forgiven it. It's gone forever. Okay, and maybe you can't be where God would have rather you be. But God, listen to me. God can still use you. And don't you go ahead and listen to these lies that, well, you know what? You went and blew it. You're a nobody. You can't be used of God. That's all a bunch of baloney. It doesn't matter where you've been. God will still use you. God can use you in some capacity. God can, maybe a bus driver, maybe cleaning a church, maybe a worker, or whatever the case may be. God can still use you. He never gives up on his own. Never, ever, ever, ever. But if you're not careful, the decisions you make, if they're bad decisions, they can cause you to be shelved by God. And I don't want that, and I hope you don't want that. They were given new names. When these men came to Babylon, they carried with them some wonderful names. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah, God is gracious. Mishael, God is without equal. Azariah, the Lord is my helper. You know, there's much said about a name, okay? But on their arrival to Babylon, they were given new names. Daniel became Belteshazzar, which means Bel will protect, B-E-L will protect. Hananiah became Shadrach, which means inspiration of the sun, S-U-N. Mishael became Meshach, which means belonging to Aku. Azariah became Abednego, which means servant of Nego. Nebuchadnezzar, what was his goal? His goal was to try to change our identity and hopefully sway these young men to their way of thinking. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to try to change him. However, these men tried to change. They couldn't be changed. You know why? Because their character was intact. You know what? Nebuchadnezzar, you can go ahead and change my lifestyle. You can change my home. You can change my food. You can change it all, but my character's intact, and I'm still going to go ahead and serve the Lord. That's what kind of grit these guys had. Their character remained intact. You know, character is doing right by reflex. You know what? These guys didn't have to just, well, let me see. What should I do? They want me to eat this food, and, you know, if I don't, man, the king said, you know, uh-uh. You know what? They did right by reflex. They had character. See the problems at hand. I'm going to move right forward. Then we saw the purpose in their hearts, verses 8 through 16. Saw their dedication. We saw their grit. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know, you saw their dedication. They couldn't, you could change your homes, you could change everything about them, but you could not change what was already in their hearts. You could not move them. These young men, no matter what the cost, they were just going to serve God. I like that. Boy, it'd be good when you come to that moment of decision. You just do right anyways. You just decide, boy, I'm going to go ahead and serve God anyhow. It would have been easy for them to say, well, everyone's doing it, or we better do what the king says, or we better obey the king, or we'll just obey the king outwardly and just kind of keep our faith to ourselves and so forth. That's the problem today. We're too busy trying to keep our faith to ourselves and not telling people about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, you know, and that is exactly one reason why we're in the mess we're in, because we're not going ye out into all the world and preaching the gospel as we ought to. We all shoulder that responsibility. Go ye, not to the preacher, not to the deacon, but go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have responsibility. Get a handful of tracts. Learn how to go soul winning. Pass out the some seeds of the word of God. Witness to somebody, whatever the case may be. We as a church shoulder responsibility to not just reach our area, but to go ahead and reach our world and sending missionaries not just at home but abroad. And now we have that responsibility. And you know what? But the thing is, we're so busy. Well, we're hiding ourselves, or we don't have time, or we just want to kind of hide our faith. And that's the problem. That's why we're in some of the mess we're in today. We're not shouldering the responsibility that God has given us. You know what? We want to live in this comfortable Christianity or this cushy Christianity. It's not going to always be that easy. Now, I wouldn't change this life for the world, amen? And I hope you wouldn't either. This is the greatest life in the world. The world has, what they're doing out there tonight, there's nothing they have that I want. You know, I'm doing exactly what I want. And boy, we ought to just decide, hey, I'm going to have the grit like these young men. I'm not going to go ahead and compromise. And I'm not going to be ashamed to share my faith. I'm not going to be ashamed to pray at the lunch table at work. I'm not going to be ashamed to carry my Bible around school. I'm not going to be ashamed to carry my Bible around, period. You know, boy, we ought to just have some grit and decide, hey, here's the word of God. Hey, this is who I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Let me tell you about it. Boy, that's what we need to be. You know what? Well, we'll just obey the king. We'll obey the king outwardly, but we'll keep our faith to ourselves. No, share your faith. Don't be ashamed of the faith. We need some grit and do right when it's not popular. The options to offer any excuses by these men were not good enough. They weren't just going to go ahead and offer any excuses. That wasn't good enough. They were willing to go ahead and commit themselves totally to God and say, you know what? And we'll see the negotiation in just a minute. They didn't compromise. Well, we ought to decide to commit and dedicate ourselves to the Lord no matter what. Our duty is to faithfully serve God with all we have and all that we are. You know, the Bible says, I read Romans 12, 1 and 2, but let me read another verse in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, very familiar verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says this, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what Paul is saying? My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. You just keep on moving. You get yourself some grit. You get yourself some strength about you. Unmovable. When the world goes ahead and tries to shake you down and tries to sway you, you know what? You stand your ground for the cause of Christ. You know what? We ought to be faithfully serving God with all we are and let the details, all the details are in his hands. You know, despite what the world says, you know what? God's going to take care of them. You just do your job. You stand your ground. See their desire. Verses 9 through 14, you can read. We'll read a few verses perhaps along the way. But verse 9, you see their desire. You know what? They desire to live clean and pure before God. They requested not to eat the king's meat. Let me just read some of these verses. Now, God had brought Daniel, verse number 9, into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed... I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall we make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So, and they consented to do that. You know, Daniel said, you know what? He's kind of setting up an experiment here. He says, you know what? They were bound determined. Their desire was to go ahead and live clean and pure before God. They weren't going to go ahead and break God's laws, irregardless of the circumstances. They were going to go ahead and stand and do right. So what Daniel does, he goes and kind of negotiates with them. He kind of has this experiment, say, listen, give me 10 days. You know, now this young man, boy, wisdom beyond his years. But give me 10 days. Okay? Give me 10 days. Give me pulse. The word pulse is they were vegetables. They were vegetarians, okay? Give me 10 days. Our food needs to be vegetables. Have us feast on that for 10 days. After 10 days, compare us to those who eat the meat. Okay? And you saw their desire. He negotiated with them. Their desire was so strong to please God and not grieve them that these men made up their minds that they would serve God no matter what. You know what? He gave them 10 days, and then you see that they consented. And we're going to see this right here. Then we see the promotion from heaven. In verses 15 and 16, thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king said that he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. You know, you saw the promotion. Daniel's experiment ended up working. What happened here after that 10 days, you know what? It was time to go ahead and meet the king. The king went ahead and called them in, and he had an interview with them. God honored his word. These men looked healthier than they had ever looked before. They looked healthier than the others. These four men knew something that many of us forget. If we do as God says and obey him, then God will never fail us. God will never go ahead and give up on us. He'll never fail us. If you stand to do right, you know what? He'll never fail us. He'll take care of you. God will always honor his word and his servants, his word, and does what he says. And then you see their excellence. After 3 years, verse 17 through 20, after 3 years, they stood before the king. The king went ahead and interviewed them, and in shock, he found and to be head and shoulders above the rest of anybody in the kingdom. He saw their excellence. He saw their testimony. He saw God, if you will, shining through them. And he was shocked by it. Again, God always honors those who honor him. Conquering compromise. Now, before I go to my last point here, I wonder how many of you battling temptation tonight and you're just about ready just to throw in the towel. You know, these four men right here, you know what? They knew how to do it. They were grounded in the word. They knew and there was not going to be anything that was going to go ahead and keep them from living right and doing right. Well, you know what? We need a church like that. We need families here tonight that say, no matter what, we're going to just go ahead and continue to do right. We need moms and dads to step up and say, you know what? Been a little bit lax in some areas of my Christian life. You know, I need to step up so I can be a proper example for my children. We need leaders that will say, you know what, no matter what, I'm just going to stick with it. I'm going to stay in my ground. I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm going to keep on going forward. And you know what? God will give you much time. You see their endurance in verse number 21. You know, we're not told how long Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served the king, served in Babylon. But we do know that Daniel endured in this place of power and prominence for over 70 years. He was nearing 90 years old when he faced the lion's den. God will give you longevity. You know what? You go ahead and you do right and you honor God in all your ways. He'll give you longevity. He'll give you, as a result of your longevity, he'll give you influence, good influence. I don't know about you, but I want to be a positive influence to those who follow me. Paul, when he was teaching Timothy, you know, his desire was, you know, to go ahead and be a proper influence for another generation, his son in the ministry, if you will, Timothy. His desire was to go ahead and be able to pass down the same faith. But unfortunately, what's happening is our faith is getting so watered down today. The pulpits have lost their fire. The church has lost its zeal. Christians have kind of lost their excitement. And you know what? It's time for us to go ahead, if we can, and set a fire to ourselves and get excited for the things of God. You know what? You don't have to look around much and just see, boy, God's been real good. You know what excites me? Just looking around and seeing God's been real good to us. He's been real good. This church has been in existence since I was 19 years old. You didn't know me. I still feel like a 19-year-old. No comment. You know, 1989, I believe it was. Been in existence. I thank God that all those years, been a little while. Boy, you know what? We've stuck with the old-time religion. Stuck with the old ways. And you know what's going to help us reach, again, that next generation is going to take a church that'll go ahead and stand their ground. Take the example and not compromise. These guys conquered compromise. They said, you know what, you can go ahead and whatever. They negotiated, they experimented, and because of their testimony and their grit, you know what? God saw to it that they had longevity. They were able to serve God a long time. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but, you know, some of you battle temptations and you're just about ready to quit. You know, that's not the answer. If you go ahead and quit, you know what? Someone behind you will quit. Somebody. It will affect somebody. You know, I will encourage you tonight, church member, teenager, mom, dad. You know, get some grit. Pray down the power of God in your life and say, God, give me the strength. Yeah, I know you've been beat up, some of you. I know you've been through it. I know you've been pushed around a little bit. I know maybe because you're staying, you're tired of being mocked at, laughed at, and all this. I know that. But you know what? Look at what our Savior did. You know what? Who for the cross, the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You know what? He finished his course. Paul said, I finished my course with joy in Acts chapter 20. I want to finish my course with joy. Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, I just want to keep on going. Why? Because somebody behind me had Paul went ahead and quit. What would that have said to Timothy, who was being mentored by Paul? You know what? We just need some grit. I know there's a lot of stuff out there. I know that, man, everywhere you go, you got to put your blinders on. You got to go ahead and turn off your radio. You got to do what all kinds of different things to go ahead and keep yourself thinking right, focused upon the cause, which is Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? Take some of these principles. On conquering compromise. Where are you at spiritually tonight? You kind of, well, you know, maybe you're so close to the edge that just one little beep, you're on the wrong side. Boy, you know what? Let's stand up tonight. Stand up for the cause of your church, your children, your teenagers, your class, your bus route, your family. And let's go ahead and let's kick the old devil in the face. And let's keep on pressing on the upward way. And let's keep on going forward. And let's not go ahead and give in to the old world and its system. Our Heavenly Father, God, I love you. And just talk to my people a little bit tonight. Maybe a little different message, I suppose. But I know, man, with all the stuff out there today, it's so easy to get off course. The old world, the old devil tries to put pressure on we Christians, and we seem to get attacked from every angle to try to get us off course. The devil knows that as a child of God, we cannot go ahead. He cannot take us to hell with him. But boy, he'd like to do everything he can to disrupt our life, to ruin our testimony, to hurt your name. I pray tonight that we wouldn't fall to compromise. I pray tonight that we'd be steadfast and move up here. We pray we just kind of look at the illustrations of these four young men who were grounded in truth from the very start. And they were not going to go ahead and quit serving you. They were going to go ahead and do right all along the way. I pray, God, that you'd bless. Pray you'd bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God spoke to you tonight, I am going to ask you to move in just a moment. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart tonight, and you need to move, and you need to do business with God, I'm going to go ahead and urge you. Why don't you go ahead and do business? Maybe you're battling temptation. Maybe you're right at that verge of just kind of compromising some of the standards that you know that you've been holding dear. You just keep on. Maybe you just need to talk to the Lord tonight as the pianist plays. All right, take your songbook. Maybe we all know it after a year of singing this, but hymn number 300 if you need it. And we kind of gave yourself a little time tonight, so we'll sing all three verses. Hey, can I get a choir up here? Can I get some of the choir? Some of you children, come on up and help me sing. Ah, smile. It's all right. I need a little help singing. Amen. All right, those of you who want to, if all of you, all of your kids, it doesn't matter, all of you youngins are more than welcome to come up. I know maybe it's new to you, but that's all right. We'd love to have you come up if you'd like, okay? You're not excluded at all. Hymn number 300. All right, number 300. I want to hear you singing, okay? Help me out, okay? I'm a little tired, so I need to have you help me sing out. All three verses, though. Okay, we got our little choir here. Amen. All right, our wonderful children. Amen. Singing, singing, singing. Okay, now the choir out there needs to help sing too, okay? All right, just because we have the little cute ones up here, that means we're all cute. Amen. All right, I better just stop there. All right, hymn number 300, all three verses. Okay, ready? Okay. Children, right after we pray and after we close, you can come by the preacher's office and get yourself some candy, okay? All right, children, I know some older children like to sneak in and so forth, but all you children, just a moment, you can come in. Good day today. Thank you for being in your place, church. Wednesday night, we'll meet right here for Wednesday evening Bible study, going through the book of Proverbs, made it chapter 3. Some of you thought, didn't think that would ever happen. I have. Amen. Amen. But it's been good. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. Hope you can be in your place. And have a wonderful, wonderful week. Oh, let's see. Joel, would you come up and close in prayer? Sorry to wake you up. You know, his dad's not here, so I can't pick on him. So you got to go to the next. You can go the one down line, okay? You ready to pray for me? All right, close in prayer. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you for the sermon we heard tonight, Lord, and the day we had in church, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'd leave this place, Lord, with a passion for purity. And Lord, I just pray that we would purpose in our hearts to serve you, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you again for this day, Lord, and the soul that was saved today, Lord. And I just pray that you bless us, Lord, and be with us this week and bring us back here safely next week. In your name, amen.